Luke chapter 4, verse 22 through 28. What is being read in the passage of Luke 4 is also found in Matthew 13. And it is also found in the book of Mark. Let us hear this passage.
And all bear him witness, and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth.
There are some things that are going to be said in this verse. As we go through it, I want you to think, I am assuming that for most of us, we have read this, or at least we have heard it read by somebody. I want you to, as it is read, to think, I have read this passage many times. Do I understand what it is talking about? What Christ had in mind when he said this, have I ever turned it over in my mind? Read, brother. Start again. 22.
And all bear him witness, and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, is not this Joseph's son? And he said unto them, ye will surely say unto me this proverb, Physician, heal thyself. Whatsoever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in thy country. And he said, verily, I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. But I tell you of a truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elias, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land, but unto none of them was Elias sent save unto Sarepta, a city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow, and many lepers were in the Israel in the time of Elias the prophet, and none of them was cleansed, saving Naaman, the Syrian, and all in the synagogue.
Okay, may I now get your attention? Get this. Jesus Christ was taking into consideration some of the things that were going through the thoughts of his audience. And in a few minutes, I'll be giving a little more background to Christ's audience. You'll notice first, Jesus Christ anticipated what they were thinking. So he said, you are going to be saying, healer or doctor, heal yourself. And then he talks about the miracle or the mighty deeds that were done elsewhere. They're going to say, why don't you do it here? And then he went on to, a prophet have no honor in his own country. Then he went on to, when Elijah healed the widow, there were many widows provide food. There were many needy people in Israel, but Elijah went to one. Then he went on to Elisha. When Elisha brought healing to Naaman. There were many lepers in Israel, but Jesus Christ healed only one. Now, it looks like Jesus Christ is dealing with a lot of things here. But brothers and sisters, all of the things you and I have just read, or the brother read from verse 22, all of them are related. It's the one lesson that is being dealt with here. In all these things that Jesus Christ brought, prophet, heal yourself. The mighty works that was done in other place, why don't you do it at your own place? A prophet hath no honor in his own country. Elijah and the widow, Elisha and Naaman, all of these five or six incidents is on one point. And I'm hoping this morning for you to get the lesson. If you title this lesson, you may title it The Barrier of Unbelief and Ingratitude. The barrier that we set up because of our unbelief or because of our ingratitude. After Jesus Christ grew up, he left the community in which he grew up and he went to other places doing heaven's work. In the many places that he went, Jesus Christ did some mighty things miraculously. And for this reason, Jesus' fame spread all over the place. He made now a second visit to his childhood community, Nazareth. What you and I are reading here, as I've said, it's found in Matthew chapter 13, it's found in Mark chapter 6, and it's found in Luke chapter 4. What we have read here, what the brother read, is about Jesus' second visit to his childhood community, Nazareth. The reception Jesus Christ received was not an encouraging one. Now, remember, they heard about his fame. Some things that he did, miraculous thing. Now he visit this community. Look at Mark chapter 6 and verse 6. This brief statement or question is giving us an idea of Jesus's the reception he received. Mark 6:6.
And he marveled.
Jesus Christ, that is, wondered, marveled.
Because of their unbelief.
You may stop there, brother. This is the same lesson, you know. Just that a while ago, the brother read from Luke 4, what Brother Norman has just read is from Mark 6. Some of the writers who relate this lesson, they give you a little more detail here and there than this one does. And here we have Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ wandering, yes. You know, it's like their unbelief, their faithlessness knocked Jesus out. They wandered. He wondered at their unbelief. This tells you a little about the reception Jesus Christ got from his fellow villagers, that is, the village, the community of Nazareth. Jesus Christ well knew that the most difficult place for a preacher to preach is the church in which he grew up. Christ knew that. Jesus Christ knew that the most difficult place for a doctor to practice medicine is the community in which he or she grew up. That's right. And when Jesus Christ pointed out in the verse read that a prophet has no honor in his own country, that is the reality. That's a reality that is consistent in our time. If a doctor went and spent these 8 years, less or more, preparing him herself, sometimes it's wiser not to open a practice in the community in which you grew up. Christ knew that. As is seen, it is not that Jesus Christ was not given an opportunity to speak. He was given an opportunity to speak in the synagogue. The problem is that when he spoke, his lesson was met with doubts. Now, here is a community boy who went abroad and got famous. You should welcome him. But in their mind, there were doubts. There were criticism. There were skepticism and rejection. That's how they met Jesus Christ. That's the reception he got from his own community, where as a little boy he grew up. Look at Matthew chapter 13, verse 54 through 57. Matthew 13.
And when he was come up into his own country.
His own country, mean Nazareth, his own community. He taught them in their synagogue.
Insomuch that they were astonished and said, whence had this man this wisdom?
Wait. They were astonished. And what we are going to, one of the interesting things, is the paradox and the contradiction that are in human being. And we have to make sure that in life we are consistent. A lot of time we act ways and say things that we plainly contradict ourselves. And that's not good. We are going to see some of it here. Jesus Christ teaching in the synagogue was of such that it makes them wonder. Read, brother. Where did this man? Read.
Is not the carpenter's son?
Is he not? You see, they are still thinking. He now grew up, gain experience and wisdom and whatever. But they are still thinking, no, I little boy, we see grow up here barefoot and everything, and parents couldn't even feed him. That's what they are thinking, prejudice. Now, this affects us too, you know. That's right. Prejudice. Is not this Read, brother, read, read.
Is not his mother called Mary?
Is not his mother called, no, no, eh? No, no, his mother called Mary, read.
And is his brethren, James.
And his brothers, James.
Joseph. And Simon.
Read.
And Judas.
And Judas, read.
And his sisters, are they not all with us?
Isn't this the same little boy who grew up here the other day? And read the brother.
Whence then had this man all these things?
Where did he get all this knowledge that he just shared with us? I wish they would permit the impression of his lesson remained with them, but prejudice was still in their mind. Man, as we are going to look at in a few minutes, that, and get this, very important point, but I'll say a few more. In any lesson, in any Bible lesson, in any gathering, where people come together to study God's word, to listen to God speak, you have the audience is as active a part as the person who is doing the teaching. In other words, part of those who preach that sermon is the audience. And what you get from any lesson is largely dependent on the attitude, the disposition, and the atmosphere that you bring to the lesson. May I bring you back to what I said in introducing the lesson? When Jesus Christ brought up, a prophet have no honor in his own country. When he brought up about Elijah, went to one person when the many widows in Israel were in need. When he brought up Elisha and Naaman, Elisha went only to Naaman, when there were many lepers in Israel, it's all about this one point, that what you bring to any aspect of God's grace brought to you, what you bring, going to be dependent on what you get. Did I stop you from reading? That was Matthew chapter 13. And you were supposed to be reading from verse 54. You didn't read 57 yet, or did you?
No, I didn't read
57. Read.
And they were offended in him. But Jesus said unto
them. Wait. They were what?
Offended in him.
My God, if a man bring you some astonishing great lesson that you need, so much so that you were surprised, your own word, you were knocked out by the man's wisdom. How come now you're offended? May I? Brothers and sisters, as I've hinted a while ago, there is a type of double paradox, double contradiction in these verses. Are we all there? Contradiction one. Jesus Christ was rejected by his own community. The rejection was not based on anything wrong Christ did. That's not supposed to happen.
That's right.
Contradiction two, they rejected Jesus Christ not because of any evil or any wrong that Jesus Christ had done, but notice this, Christ was rejected because of the magnitude, because of the greatness of Jesus' miraculous work, and because of Jesus' wisdom. My God, you don't reject a person because of the person's greatness, wisdom, and accomplishment. That's a contradiction. That's what happened here. Jesus' miraculous work, which they considered, get this. They considered the greatness that accompanied Jesus Christ back to his community, the greatness that came ahead of him, they considered it inconsistent with the humble environment or the humble home in which he was brought up. In other words, they could not reconcile that a boy who grew up right here in that little house, and his humble mother and father, they're still alive, they're right around with us, and his sister, they could not reconcile that humble beginning with the greatness that accompanied Jesus Christ. It is for this reason Jesus Christ was rejected. Rejection of Jesus Christ and the gospel, get this, does not always come from intellectuals. Men and women who reject Jesus Christ are not always the educated. Men and women who reject the gospel and reject the simple New Testament truth are not always the cultured. Oftentimes it comes from those who have prejudice of all sort, from those who are ignorant, from those men and women who sometimes are too lazy to think. Now this is important. You'd say, well, it's usually the people who think they are educated and they reach where in life that reject the truth. No, it's not always like that. Because a lot of time people come to Christ, come to the gospel, come to Christianity, they approach it with all sort of prejudices. And when we come to Christ, Christianity, with all of that, prejudices, lazy to think, then we are creating obstacles for ourselves. We are creating hindrances. One of the important truth coming from the text, I mentioned it a while ago and I get back to it now. One of the important truth coming from the text of Luke chapter 4, verse 22, following ready, is that in any gathering or study of God's word, the audience or the congregation is also active in preaching that lesson or that sermon. And that includes you in this audience. That's right. And this is what comes out in the lesson. If you have read this lesson before, that the brothers just read. Start again, brother, verse 22.
And all bear him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, is not this Joseph's son? And he said unto them,
What they are looking on is that we know this when he was a little boy, when he was 10, 11, 12, 13. We knew him. Read on.
And he said unto them,
ye
will surely say unto me this proverb.
You are going to use this proverb. Throw it at me.
Physicians, heal thyself.
Physician, heal yourself. Wait, that self there is not so much that they noticed that Christ was ill. That's not it. The other phrase will help us. Read.
Whatsoever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in thy country.
Stop there. That's what it meant. Physician, heal yourself. This last part is explaining it. The great miracle we heard of you doing in these other community, why don't you do it in your own community right here in Nazareth? That's the point. Physician, heal yourself. That's what that means. The miracle you have done other places, why don't you do it here? Read on.
And he said,
Jesus Christ is responding now.
Verily I say unto you,
truly I say unto you,
no prophet is accepted in his own country.
No prophet is accepted in his own country. Wait. You think Jesus Christ is largely referring to himself and their rejection of him? No. This is largely talking about their attitude. That's it. That is, because I am from right here, you will not manifest the faith in my lesson that you so desperately need. That's what he was saying. Read on a little further.
But I tell you of a truth. Many widows were in Israel in the days of Elias.
That's the same thing, you know. Many widows were in Israel in the time of Elijah. Read.
When the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months.
When the heaven, that is, there was drought and famine. Watch here. Read.
When great famine was throughout all the land.
The great famine extended throughout Israel and elsewhere. Read.
But unto none of them.
What you know?
Was
this
Elias
pertained
sent
to us, you know. Brothers and sisters, you know what all this is teaching? And this is the lesson. I could almost step off the pulpit once I say this. The disposition, the attitude, the atmosphere that you and I bring to God's word determine the extent to which the Almighty God makes sure you get the best from any of his grace. This is important. Well, if you and I come to worship, listen to a sermon, and we couldn't care less. Brothers and sisters, you are setting up blockage from heaven. You are telling the Almighty God not to be as gracious as he is, as he wants to be to you. That is, your attitude towards God's grace. Wait. when you and I have a chance to study God's word, is it from you in the privacy of your home studying your Bible? Or is it you and another brother or sister studying something in God's word? Or is it listening to a lesson on Wednesday night or on Sunday morning, Sunday night? God's word should be seen as gold or diamond. If you approach it with a sense of worthlessness, commonness, that's exactly what Christ meant when he said, you should not throw pearl to swine. That's on the same point here. That, brothers and sisters, that whenever we are confronted by any of God's, any aspect of God's grace, we must make sure we put the value, the importance, the significance on it as we can. Why did Elijah left all the other widows who were hungry in Israel and go to this one in another community? If my memory serves me right, it could be a Gentile community around the outskirts of Israel. What Jesus Christ is saying is that that widow would appreciate what Elijah did than the Israelite. That's the lesson. That's what Christ is showing them. That in the same way you reject me, I bring you the lesson that you really need. But you respond to it with prejudice, preconceived minds, lazy mind. Jesus Christ said, yes, many of you have wondered, why Elijah? Some 900 years ago, that is 900 years from the time of Jesus Christ, why Elijah left all these widows in Israel who were in need? It was time of famine. Why did he went to this one person? Jesus Christ says it was dependent on the atmosphere, the disposition, the attitude that one widow had. She valued what Elijah brought. You Israelite would not put much value on it. The moment you eat the belly full, you would forget it. This widow would never forget what was done to her by the man of God. That's the lesson here. Read on a little further. You're in Matthew chapter... Luke chapter 4, verse 22 26. Following. I don't know, remember what verse you reached now. Mm-hmm.
But unto none of them was Elijah sent, save unto Zarephath, a city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow. And many lepers were in Israel.
Here is another illustration on the same point. It looks like Jesus Christ in this passage, that is Luke chapter 4, verse 22 through verse 27. Look like Jesus Christ is talking about many different things. No, it's the one thing.
And many lepers.
Wait, take time with me, brother. One thing he's talking about. That the attitude and disposition with which you and I come to God's word determine what blessing you and I get from God. The value, the worth, the importance, the significance that we put on any aspect of God's grace will determine how much you and I benefit spiritually from that grace. Almost everything from around verse 23 through 24, the four incidents Jesus Christ brought up is on that very one point. Even though it looked like Jesus, here now you're dealing with, now first you dealt with Elijah. Yes. Now Jesus Christ brought up now Elisha. This is the man who healed Naaman. Listen, read, brother.
And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elisha.
Many were suffering from leprosy. It was a killing disease. Christ is telling us that it's not just one person had that disease. It's not only Naaman. Wait. Naaman was not even Israelite. And that's the point. There were many lepers in Israel.
In the time of Elisha, the prophet. Mm-hmm.
The prophet.
And none of them was cleansed.
None. Wait. You know, I keep telling you that God doesn't do things by accident. Here you have a good example of it. He doesn't do things when the Almighty God, remember, this incident took place some 900 years before Christ. And what we are learning now, that it was no accident. When you read the context, it's like Elisha accidentally, first Naaman just happened to have leprosy and he couldn't be healed, and the king of Syria sent him to Israel. No, all of it was God's doing. And when the Almighty God healed the Syrian general, who on many occasions fought against Israel and killed many Israelites, when the Almighty God brought healing to him, Watch here. The Almighty God did it because God realized that this man was a man of gratitude. I'm almost tempted to relate or to go and read, but we're not going to. But when, you know, Naaman is one of the most profound, drastic example of conversion to be found anywhere in the Bible. He was the guard to the king of Syria. When the king of Syria went anywhere, it was Naaman who was the head of the army that followed him. Because everybody had to listen to Naaman's command. No soldier. You know, you talk about rank. He was the top of it. And when he was healed, so grateful was the man that when he wanted to take back some of Israel's soil to his country, he wanted to pay Elisha money, and Elisha wouldn't take it. But you know what struck me is that the man became so converted to God of heaven that right there he said, when I go back to my country, because I have to accompany the king in the idol temple, he said, may God, in effect, may God forgive me for doing that. The man had arisen at the fact that bowing down to idol was sinful. That's the practice he had practiced all his life. But out of gratitude, thankfulness, appreciation for the God of Israel, the man realized that to go back to that heathen temple is wrong. Yo, may I when you get truly converted in respect to the truth of the gospel, you cannot go back to the denominational church.
Amen, amen.
Elisha, Naaman, asks Elisha to forgive him if he had to. He's not going back to worship, you know. It's just that his duty to the king meant he had to follow the king to the idol temple. And right there, it didn't take the man 1 year. In 1 day, the man come to this knowledge. So when Jesus Christ talk about why Elisha left all the leprosy, the people that were affected by leprosy in Israel, and went and healed this one Syrian, Jesus Christ is teaching that what you bring to God's grace. Now, God's grace is there, you know. And we are told in the book of Titus that the grace of God has appeared not to some men, but to all men. What you and I bring to God's grace is going to depend, going to determine what God's grace does for us. But a lot of time we come to God's grace with a certain type of attitude, our mindset, our atmosphere, that mindset become an hindrance. That's all what Jesus Christ relate here from verse 22 to verse 28. All of that is on this one point, that we come, that the congregation or the audience brings to every service, every worship, we bring a certain mindset. We bring a certain atmosphere, a certain attitude. And that attitude that we bring either becomes a barrier through which the word of God, preached even by an angel, cannot penetrate because of the attitude we come with. Or the word of God, it's either it is a barrier or it is an expectancy. We come with an open mind, wanting God to work with us to understand his will, in which the poorest of sermon become a living inspiration because of the mindset we come with. This is Jesus' lesson. Their rejection of Christ and his teaching was due to their own unworthiness, their own prejudice. Brothers and sisters, we forfeit and we set up barriers when we approach any of God's kind disposition towards us with prejudice. When you or I lack receptiveness, when you or I lack appreciation for God's grace, God's kindness, God's goodness, no divine outreach can appeal to you when you lack appreciation for it. And this is what Elijah, Elisha, and all that is about. All the three or four illustrations Jesus Christ brought up in Luke 4, 22 through 27, all of them relate to this one point. What disposition you brought to the sermon today? What is your attitude? When you come to worship tonight, what will be your disposition or attitude, mindset? When you come to Wednesday night, that will determine how much help you get from God. In effect, Jesus Christ was telling his audience, and by extension telling us, lot of time we prove ourselves unworthy in God's sight, unworthy to receive blessing that God wants to bless us with. That's the lesson, you know. Christ was teaching his childhood community, Nazareth, that they prove themselves unworthy. They want to ask him, why don't you perform the same miracle here in your own community that you perform elsewhere? In effect, Jesus Christ is saying to them, I don't, because you are unworthy. As I wrap up, to this day, men and women are showing themselves, not in their own eyes, not even in the eyes of the person who sit beside them, behind them, or before them, but in the eyes of God, that they are unworthy of God's grace and blessing because of the way they respond to it, because of the attitude that they brought to bear upon it. There are a few more things, but we will not look at it right now. I want to talk with you about honest doubt must be based on things that are investigated. When a person says, I doubt what you have read there in the Bible, I doubt it. A lot of time a person say that when they have never given a second thought to what you have read to them. Honest doubt. A person can have honest doubt. I'm just throwing this out. I'm not going to go in detail. I want to also speak a little about the fact that the Nazarene could not give a rational, logical, reasonable, honest reason to justify their rejection of Christ. If you ask any of those Nazarene, why do you reject him? They could not come up with anything rational, reasonable, and logical. Men and women are like that today. You must make sure you are not like that. You are willing. You must not be too lazy or too busy to investigate God's word. Because that's part of the prejudice that men bring to God's word. They never take time off to really look into what it is saying. Yet they don't want to believe it. And that is from baptism to any subject. That is from the one true church to any subject. May I beg you, if you forget everything about this lesson, remember the lesson is about proving oneself unworthy. That's what the lesson is about. When Jesus Christ, all the illustration brought up, be it in the passage of Matthew chapter 13 where it is related, or the passage of Mark chapter 6 where it is related, or the passage of Luke chapter 4 verse 22 following, where we have read from, any of those passages, all that Jesus Christ is pointing out is that men and women can come to God's, any aspect of God's grace with the wrong attitude and disposition. That become hindrance. It become an obstacle to God's blessing, to God working with you. When you come, our approach is grace with the wrong attitude. You must learn to put value on anything God brings in your ambit. Elijah went and healed Elisha, a non-Israelite, Gentile warlord, because of the value that that warlord would put on the healing. And if you think God a lie, just read the context and you'll see how precious the healing was to the man. Learn to appreciate the good things that God brings into your life. Wait. Don't ever think that only material things are good things. Because the best things that God brings to us is spiritual things. Like you today, if you're not a Christian, hearing God's word that Jesus Christ died for you, believing it, that you need Christ, you need forgiveness, that can come only by Christ, and it can come only by you obeying Christ's word, and that is where repentance comes in. That you will, as a result of your faith, decide to turn from your sinful, ungodly, worldly ways, and turn to Jesus Christ. And that you will remember that you are not forgiven at repentance. Because all the sin you commit before you decide to repent is still there. Your decision to repent, that is to turn around, does not remove sin. Explain that, Brother Mitchell. Well, the Bible says that without the shedding of blood, there is no removal of sin. What does that mean, Mr. Mitchell? It is the blood of Jesus Christ that you are going to access through baptism that going to remove your sin. So that means you must not only repent after you believe, you must be willing to confess Jesus Christ's name, that he is the Son of God, and you must be baptized for the removal of your sin. Mr. Mitchell, I have been sprinkled. Sprinkling qualify you to join a man-made church. Sprinkling does not mean you have obeyed God, because sprinkling is the invention of man. Baptism is the will of God. So today you can step forward. Not only that,